Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. The path towards financial freedom looks different for everyone. I mean, we know this, right? But when you work 9 to 5, it looks very, very different than if you work a tip-based job in the service industry. My next guest built a career in that industry. She knows exactly what it is like to live off a tipped income. Her name is Barbara Sloan. She's the author of Tipped, the life-changing guide to financial freedom for waitresses, bartenders, strippers, and all other service industry professionals. She joins me now from New York City. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me.
You are right. Personal finance advice is massively skewed to people who have salaried jobs. What are some of the examples of what's different for people who derive at least a portion of their income from tips?
The income side is completely different for people who are on a tip-based income. So they're operating off of a fluctuating income. For the majority of people on 9 to 5, they're not familiar with what that means. But for people who maybe are entering the gig economy, consultants, have their own businesses, they're more familiar with that, and they know that that means that budgeting is harder, that tracking your income becomes a lot more important. And so for people who are working on tips, those are the things that we start to talk about with them, is that they need to be more educated about tracking their income, tracking their tips, and learning how to budget while on a fluctuating income.
This book was not a theoretical exercise for you. I mean, you write very authentically and openly about your journey and your job history as a pole dancer, as a waitress, as a coyote ugly bartender, like all the things. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so powerful. You have incredible credibility having walked this path yourself. What was the insight? What opened your eyes to the, I don't know, opportunity to learn more about personal finance?
This inflection point came in 2013, 2014. I had just moved to New York, and I had gotten a job in New York working at Coyote Ugly, and I had gotten another job working on Wall Street doing accounting. And I was working for it was part trading floor, part independent sales organization that was doing something like loan sharking. And I got to see the ugly side of financial services, the predatory side of financial services. I left that job after 6 months, and I got a new job working at a construction company, one of the companies that I now own. And I was tasked with setting up a benefits system, HR. It was in getting to see all of those benefits, the 401k, the health insurance, the paid time off, the pre-tax benefits, all of these benefits, where I realized that people who live on tips are constantly getting pushed back behind the starting line. For people in the 9 to 5 world, anytime they need to take a day off, they typically get paid for that day off. Majority of Americans have on average 20 days of paid time off. For people in the tipped world, that's not a reality. So anytime you take a day off, you are losing money. Anytime you have a health event, you are pulling money out from your savings if you have it, or you're going into debt for it, whereas most Americans have these benefits, which really are financial safety nets.
It sounds like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and you crawled through the wardrobe into this world that you couldn't even have imagined. Is that an accurate characterization?
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the reason that me and my peers have been left out of wealth building.
Right.
This is the reason we're behind.
There's flying unicorns here. Oh my gosh. Now, as I mentioned, you write very, very honestly about your experience. And one of the things that I found really compelling was about the costs of working in the service industry, in particular alcohol, as a workplace hazard. Tell us why you characterize it in this way and how you learn to navigate it.
Yeah, I don't glamorize the industry, but it's important to note that every job has workplace hazards. The other career that I know as well as the service industry is construction. And there's tons of workplace hazards. You just get training for how to navigate those hazards. In the industry, we are often not told and talked about how to manage alcohol as a present and constant force, not only in your work, but in your life. So I don't typically have an opinion on alcohol. A lot of us make our money from the presence of alcohol, but it is a hazard, and it's one that we need to be honest about how it's impacting us if we're drinking on the job, if we're drinking more after as a cost of winding down to the job, and maybe how it's impacting our guests, which can also be hazards in the industry.
Well, in construction, it's steel-toed boots and a hard hat is kind of the starter there. You don't go on a job site without those two things. What boundaries do you recommend people at least consider creating for themselves if they work in an environment where alcohol is served or is kind of a part of how transactions get done?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head with the word boundaries. Boundaries are your steel-toed boots. So boundaries can look like a lot of different things. You can put in engineering controls where you are making it look like you're drinking on the job and you're drinking a seltzer. Maybe you're in a club and you're a dancer and you're going up to the club and you order your cocktail with a wink and the bartender knows that means to make you a fake cocktail. Or maybe it's just that you present the information to your guests and clients, like, actually, I'm not drinking on Thursdays, or I'm not drinking at all. Or, you know, sometimes it takes the form of abstinence completely. Sometimes it takes the form of making it look like you're drinking. It really depends on you.
You are really into the math, which I love. And one of the areas in particular that you talk about is how many hours do you have to work to pay for that? Why is that so critical for people to understand, do you think?
I think it's important for people to understand, especially in our industry, is because a lot of people after their shift go out. Our shifts are energizing, which is very different than what most people do for work. Most people leave their work drained and they want to go right home and they want to relax. When you leave a shift, you are energized and you need to burn off that steam. And that often looks like you going out afterwards. And that means you're spending a portion of the money. So whatever you're spending to wind down, that's a cost to you working. So you need to be informed in order to make educated decisions about where your money is going and if those are really aligned with your values. If you're only giving yourself a false choice of would I rather go out or not go out, then the choice is always going to be to go out. But if you say to yourself instead, would I rather not go out every single day and instead only go out once every other week and also max out my IRA and also go to Mexico at the end of the year, then we have a totally different question that's based in your values and what's important to you.
One of the yeah buts that people in sessions that I do bring is I have unpredictable income. I work in the service industry. I work in the gig economy. I can't budget. Your book says, yeah, you can. What does it look like? Yeah, you can. What does it look like for a service industry professional?
Yeah. So people who you don't have to budget on your income. You can always budget on your expenses. So if your income is, you know, varying widely based on maybe you're in a job that's more seasonal, then maybe you want to budget based on your expenses and that you can keep your expenses more fixed. So you would start there. I always also encourage people to build in buffers. Let's say that you have a summer electric bill that's a little higher than your winter electric bill. Bump up what you would allocate to your winter electric bill so that you're ready and prepped for the time that your summer electric bill comes around. A lot of budgeting is just thinking ahead and getting an estimate of what you think your expenses are going to be. It's never going to be perfect. Nobody's budget's perfect. You and your life are perfect to start right now budgeting.
You write, you're a hustler. Hustle responsibly. What does that mean?
Hustle gets a bad rap right now. Like, it's almost a negative word in our culture and in the zeitgeist. And I think because for a lot of people in the 9-to-5 world, hustle translates to maybe working for free or, you know, sacrificing your wellness for the sake of a job. Hustling in the service industry is largely self-defined. In a lot of ways, we're entrepreneurs. And so we can hustle, but we also have to remember that we have to do it responsibly, meaning that, like, our industry has a little bit of golden handcuffs where you get addicted to that cash constantly coming in. And you have to remember that rest and relaxation and taking care of your body is important to you being able to stay in this industry long-term. And so you have to be responsible with taking time off and going to get those. No boss in the service industry is like, yep, you've got to take your PTO or it's going to run out. Right. So you have to self-define, how many days am I going to take off? I do coaching as well. And I always tell my clients, like, you have to set up a PTO policy for yourself. And that includes taking days off for your mental health, for your annual physical, for a dental checkup. Nobody's going to tell you how to live your life. You have to do these things yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. The pro and the con of having so much agency. Barbara, I really appreciate your time today.
Bruce, this is great conversation. Thank you so much.
Barbara Sloan is the author of Tipped, the life-changing guide to financial freedom for waitresses, bartenders, strippers, and all other service industry professionals. And I got to tell you, how many personal finance books do I read? Like about 14 gazillion. And this one is genuinely different.